I have
current geek.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, and welcome to it. Welcome to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars. There you go, geeks of the world, and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Tom Merritt.
Hi, that is Tom Merritt.
Hey, man.
I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Mom named me.
Is it Thomas when you were born? Was it something else? Was it just Tom?
Oh, Thomas. Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable. Tom. That's so cute.
Tommy.
I like it. I was Scotty, so we're both in the same boat.
You know, I wasn't really Tommy for... I was Tommy at first, but it just didn't stick.
Didn't hang? Yeah, Scotty didn't last more than maybe third grade.
But hey, I'm getting a 2-for-1 Scott Johnson today. This is awesome.
Yeah, you were on the Instance this morning. If you haven't heard that episode and you like your World of Warcraft, you might really enjoy Tom's guest appearance on the Instance this morning. He played the British fellow. And it was great. It was good to have you on there.
Hey, I'm walking here.
I just love it that Tom still has an interest in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, of course.
Yay.
I like all things Blizzard, don't you? There, Tom.
I kind of do.
Tommy, sorry.
And genuinely so.
That voice you heard is the returning guest, our second of such. We haven't had any other returning guests but one. I think Ibbot was first. Now Randy. Randy Jordan, everybody. Hello, Randy Deluxe. What's going
on? Hello. Aloha, Scott, Tom, Brian. I am the returning champion. And like on Jeopardy, I expect some money.
the guy he just called Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, with us, joining us now, the chin beard himself, Mr. Bill Duran. Hello, Bill.
Brian is a noble name. I'll take it.
it is a noble name.
Yeah.
I work at a geek company, a nerd company, and everybody's named Brian or Andrew or David. Like, there are these certain names that this generation went in on hard.
Yeah, and now there's multiples of them in the same office.
Hey, didn't we have Patrick Bejan twice?
Yeah, you're right. I screwed up. Patrick's twice.
But we weren't counting Europeans.
Don't tell him either.
It's a different league.
All kinds of heat from Patrick.
It's a champ. Premiership.
Bill, of course, from punishprops.com. Always good to have him on anything we're doing. And I can't wait to get your perspective on this stuff, too. So thanks for being a first-time guest. And if you pull this off right, you might be back.
Yay!
All right, fine. Sorry, what?
I just real quick would like to have a very happy birthday to my identical twin brother, Rob.
Oh, wait. Aww. It's your birthday today. I forgot.
Yay!
Yeah. Nicely done. Is that what you two do? You wish each other birthday wishes?
Sure. It's a great way to be complimentary and self-serving all at the same time.
And who's the older one?
Me, 2 minutes.
Two minutes. Yeah.
Best I thought maybe minutes. It was like at midnight, so your birthday was yesterday, and then his birthday was today.
3:24 in the afternoon.
Okay.
I always wanted
afternoon
a twin.
Delight.
Yeah, right? Hey.
now we're just, I have to steer us way off, of course. I'm sorry, guys, but
sorry.
I just want to know, did your parents really go in for giving you guys a different experience growing up, or were you always together in everything?
Oh, always together. That was way easier. It had to be.
Mm-hmm.
We were a nightmare. They didn't even know that they were having twins until the day they had us.
Oh my gosh, really?
Oh my God, we have half of what we need. Go to the store, get diapers.
Did they really not know? I guess it would have been.
Know, yeah.
I mean, ultrasounds That's existed, crazy. But they were pretty rudimentary, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they did win the day of, and they're like, "Oh my God, four arms.
Your?
Oh no. Oh, two heads. Oh, it's some sort of. Oh, two whole bodies.
Oh,
we're okay.
Phew.
You have twins.
Sorry, the double penis was a false alarm. Everything's fine.
Seattle twins.
Yeah.
So the follow-up question is, having experienced all the same stuff you and your brother did, if you were having twins, would you try to get them in separate classes, try to give them separate experiences
and
all sorts of
question.
Ways?
That's a great question. What would you do?
I would probably run away screaming. And no, the thing is, like, I've had a best friend for my entire life, so... I wouldn't force anything, and if they wanted to hang out together, that's what I would do.
Oh, that's good.
Who has been your best friend?
Oh, right. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
A stuffed animal named Petey. I'll say this, Bill. Your brother's a super nice guy, but it just occurred to me that maybe you're him tonight. How do I have any proof that you are who you say you are?
Well, he has a scar on his butt.
All right. I will look into it.
See your butt.
He's got the gavel. He must do what he says.
Oh no!
Yeah, right. I was gonna ask to confirm that it's Bill. I was gonna ask Bill what he did on the Sunday after BlizzCon, but what if it was his brother doing it?
Oh, no, that wasn't, that was not Rob. That was me.
Plus and I went to
Randy's house. That's what Rob would say.
Yeah.
I went to Randy's house and we had tea. It was lovely.
Oh, lovely. Right. Tea at Randy's. Right. Here you go, everybody. Let's get to the top stuff.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
This is Tommy Merritt's portion of the show.
Thank you, Scotty. Mikey P. Kennedy tipped us off to our first story at the subreddit, currentgeek.reddit.com. A Halo feature film is in the works. You may say, well, I thought, yeah, Steven Spielberg. No, that Steven Spielberg's doing a TV show for Microsoft around Halo. This one is a feature film produced by Ridley Scott. Microsoft has confirmed it, not a rumor. IO9 says Prison Break creator Paul Schuring is in line to write the series. The director is going to be Sergio Mimica Gazan, who worked on Minority Report. He worked on AI. He was a director of Battlestar Galactica episodes. Microsoft says it will not overlap with the Spielberg project, which sadly that means no Master Chief in the feature.
So this has got nothing to do with the long rumored Neil Blomkamp project that was supposedly in the works.
Does not appear to be, although maybe that's a script that got kicked around and ends up being attached to this. Sometimes it works that way. I don't know.
I remember the whole, so District 9 comes out and then there was all this hullabaloo about him as an up-and-coming director and everyone was excited about him. And then there was all this talk about Del Toro producing him, directing and writing a Halo film. And then everybody freaked out because that just seemed like a really great sort of, you know, geeky pie.
I thought it was Peter Jackson producing, Del Toro directing.
You're right. I have it backwards. It wasn't Del Toro. Okay. I don't think Del Toro was directing, but he was involved in some heavy way. And it may have been the co-producing or something. But you're right. You're totally right. It was Peter Jackson.
It's one of those properties that every huge name has been attached to just because we can. We're just like, oh, today I'm going to start a rumor that it's Lars von Trier. Why not?
Oh, my gosh. What a terrible film that might be.
Sorry.
And so this just in, it's rumored that Lars von Trier has been attached to direct.
It's going to be so boring.
Yeah. The simulated sex is the part I'm looking forward to the most in Halo. So Bill, real quick here, you make props and stuff. The idea of a Halo movie must get you kind of excited.
It does. Yeah. Did you guys watch the Forward Unto Dawn stuff?
Yeah, I did. It's on Netflix still, isn't it? I think it is.
Yeah. Most of the stuff there was done by Legacy Effects, and those guys are freaking wizards with their props and costumes. And they commissioned Oakley to make the visor for Master Chief and everything. It was really cool.
Not that there's any shortage of Master Chiefs at cons and, you know.
No.
Cosplay.
This one was above and beyond, though. He could actually move around and like roll around on the ground and jump. And they had some 7.5-foot tall actor in there. He was the real deal. And if they do anything like that for a movie, it'll be rad.
Let's be really, really clear. Above and beyond, Master Chief has to have a jetpack where he can fly around the show floor. If you cannot fly off the show floor, you are not above and beyond Master Chief.
No. Well, and they only
and
did
there is
that.
No Master Chief in this digital feature either.
Oh, okay. What? Okay, so hold on. Just back this up a little bit.
Yeah, because I mentioned that, but I think it might have got glossed over. They're saying it's not going to cross over with the Spielberg series, and the Spielberg series has Master Chief.
Oh, that's not good, though, for their movie.
This is too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
I need them to focus.
I need them to focus on Master Chief, because that's who you care about. This is like saying we're making a Mario movie without Mario in it, or, you know.
Well, it's like saying we're going to make a Mario series, but then we're going to have a Mario World movie, but there won't be any Mario.
Right.
It's going to be Yoshi.
That's a bad idea.
People are pretty attached to the Noble team from Halo Reach. That'd be a pretty good
team. They're okay. Team to go with. Sure. Yeah.
There are stories to be told. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this works. I would think you'd want it to cross over somehow.
Yeah. I just think if you're going to pick, you're going to have the Cortana Master Chief combo. And this can only be good for Microsoft's Windows Phone efforts with Cortana.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why not? There's your crossover.
Yeah. And this is going to be a digital feature too. So probably not coming to theaters, probably coming to your Xbox.
All right, fine.
I'm tired of all of this. Like,
also, it won't be a movie. You'll have to read it off the screen.
Right, it's words. This is text.
It drives me. We're talking about this on the day that Winter Soldier is opening, the second Captain America movie. And I just go all in, people. If you're going to make something, make it big.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's what that is.
Speaking of making it big, yeah. Marvel Studios is with you, particularly, not just about Captain America, but DudeBro48 posted the IO9 article that Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige, is that how you say his name? F-E-I-G-E?
Feige, I believe is right.
Has planned the Marvel Cinematic Universe all the way through the next 14 years. They have a chart that shows them making movies through 2028 in the same universe.
We're all...
That's a Business Week article.
It's true, but we're all stoked about Marvel movies. We're all pretty happy with the results so far. And the movie Randy just mentioned is getting crazy good reviews ahead of release today. And everyone I've talked to has seen it and just loves it. Don't you think, though, in 14 years, we might be running a little... I don't know, a little tired of the
60-year-old Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Well, one presumes they'll have new casts for things they rotate through and all that. But I guess is this the next Star Wars in that we'll never get tired of knowing that there's more coming? Or maybe Star Wars is a bad example, but
They'll at this point, by the time they get to like 2025, they'll have to make a Dark Hawk movie. So I'm pretty excited about
that's
that.
That's great. Or Moon Knight. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Start digging into those obscure characters.
My favorites are obscure characters. I want them to make a Luke Cage Power Man movie and a Longshot movie. And I'm sorry because
Sorry, dude. Luke Cage would be a killer. That'd be some killer.
Well, they're
stuff.
Making a Luke Cage series on Netflix.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's what I'm talking about. Going small. Don't go small.
Yeah, and right. You don't like this bright new future of smaller things. Yeah.
No, I really don't. I like it. It bugs me when years ago when we first heard about the Clone Wars series, I'm just like, no.
See, here's your
this
problem,
could be
though.
A movie.
Here's your problem. You are no small connoisseur of good television, and there's a ton of it right now, especially cable TV. Why couldn't these things, be good enough for that? Like, why can't this Luke Cage thing, even if it's direct, why can't it be as good as House of Cards is? As a direct to home, streaming thing.
I don't want you to get the impression that I'm calling things that are big good, or like that this is about good and bad, because I love sitting down and consuming a whole season of something on Netflix streaming. Like, I love that. I think that's just fine. Sure. It's just that there are certain stories where I want to believe they're so amazing and fun and interesting that someone could spend $250,000 bringing it to me.
Fair enough.
There are other things that are meant to be consumed on the smaller screen, perhaps. One of them might be this next story. Will Wheaton is hosting, writing, and producing a sci-fi series focused on science fiction and general nerd culture. Chris Hardwick much? The Will Wheaton Project is described by Wheaton as, quote, a weekly roundup of things I love on television and on the internet, with commentary and jokes and the occasional visit from interesting people who make those things happen. He also summed it up as talk soup for geeks. Premieres on Tuesday, May 27th, and will run for 12 episodes through the summer.
Seems like a good fit for Will. Here's the theme. We have the music theme already. Here it is. I'll play it for you real fast.
Shut up, Wesley.
That's the one.
Of
course, don't mean that. I'm looking forward to that. I think that'd be fine. Why not have a talk soup style show for nerds?
Yeah, and Will is really engaging and fun to chat with. And my Hardwick joke aside, I think there's room for both. They're different styles. And I can't wait to see what Will does when he sits down and chats with people, because he is super passionate about stuff. And he's designed the show properly, in my opinion, by saying, I'm going to talk about things I'm super passionate about with people who are passionate about them.
Right. Is it mostly focused on television stuff like The Soup would be, or is this just anything? Like, hey, a new book from so-and-so.
Science fiction and general nerd culture, right. Television and the internet.
All right. It sounds like, honestly, if you want to really break this down, this is like sci-fi saying we need to do something like people have on YouTube. We need a show that's like a billion YouTube channels where these are the focuses. This is the content they're interested in. Why don't we get in on some of that stuff since we are supposed to be the bastion of sci-fi on television? That's a good idea. I think it's great.
Still, where's the new ground being cut here?
There isn't any, except to say, so that's my there point. No. That's kind of my point. Like, there's a million of these shows on the internet already in various forms, podcasts, YouTubers, whatever. Him coming up and doing this is a way to put a popular face and a lot of crossover audience on top of a show that is kind of rare on regular television. You see what I'm saying? Like, nobody else is really doing this.
Personally, if it were someone else doing this, I might feel differently, but I like Will Wheaton's style.
Yeah.
I like the way he talks about things. I think he's funny. I think he's smart. So that to me is like saying, well, wait a minute. Why is Jimmy Fallon doing a talk show? That doesn't break new ground. It's like, well, I like Jimmy Fallon, so I'm going to like The Tonight Show. This is the same sort of thing. If you like Will Wheaton, you're probably going to like this.
Yeah.
Our old friend Jim Kirk started doing The Clip Show 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, by the way. And I wish that had gone on forever. Like, I just feel like this is old. It's not just saturated, but like I'm tired of it.
I'm telling you, it is straight up a mainstream audience grab. That's what this is. Because you're absolutely right. No new ground where we come from. Like where we sit, this is all happening already, including stuff from Will Wheaton himself.
Well, you can also, I mean, just hold on though. I mean, if this is targeted towards geeks, it's about science fiction and fantasy. So I don't think it is mainstream.
Well,
I think the idea is, the format's not new, but the stuff we're going to talk about is stuff you're going to enjoy hearing about. And the guests we're going to get are guests you don't get. I mean, you could say four guys sitting around on an audio podcast talking isn't new either.
No, it's true. You make a good point. Maybe the audience is the same audience. Yes, Bill.
It'll probably appeal to the widest range of geeks, kind of like the way that Heroes of Cosplay appeal to the widest range of cosplayers.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But there will be nuggets, I think, in there of really good stuff that we can extract those nuggets and nibble on them and enjoy them.
Well, and before we leave this topic, you come from a perspective specifically with that cosplay show, which, and you've told me before, and I can't remember what venue you told me this. Hopefully it wasn't in private and I'm not supposed to talk about it. But I remember you saying, just like the King of the Nerds show that was on, it's another reality show, and reality shows kind of have certain tropes built into them regardless of the subject matter. So while they're appealing to some nerdy things, a lot of it is also just straight up traditional reality TV programming. And the cosplay thing had some of that too. There's coaching, or there's people kind of in editing or being made into the character that they want them to be, even though that may not be accurate in real life or whatever. This seems like an opportunity to say, well, no, this is just straight up Will Wheaton. And those of you who don't follow him on the internet know him from Big Bang Theory and know him from Star Trek and know him from these shows and movies. So it just seems like a better way to bridge that gap instead of the reality TV show way, which is kind of a lot of crap thrown in because it's TV and the stakes are high.
Yeah.
So anyway. I think it'll be good.
Our next story is going to be entirely breaking new ground because there's only like two or three companies doing it. And the latest is Jaunt, a Palo Alto, California company. They just raised $6.8 million to figure out how to produce movies that will work in virtual reality, like the Oculus Rift or Project Morpheus from Sony. The company makes the algorithms necessary to stitch together recorded video and audio to give viewers a stronger sense of being there. And they've demoed off some test video through an Oculus Rift, showing people watching, say, a rapidly moving skateboarder or a school-age chorus standing in a circle or a group practicing martial arts. And the shot is steady. What changes the scene is you turning. So when the skateboarder goes by, you have to turn your head to follow it.
Yeah. This is interesting because, this may have been on FilmSack, Randy, where we may have discussed some of this, but this idea that movies need to adapt to a emerging virtual reality kind of technology market where you're now in the story. So instead of something just sort of happening displayed before you in a linear way, built by an artist or a director or whatever, you're going to stand in the middle of that group talking on camera. You're going to be able to hear the conversation from further or closer distances and these kinds of things. I'm not so sure. I think it's good that we're exploring this, but I'm not so sure you can do this. The whole idea of a dramatic film, for example, is that it's been sort of crafted for you by somebody with a vision versus going to see Jurassic Park, which doesn't necessarily have to be that deep, but it's a big kind of event experience. The VR seems well suited to the event experience and less to, what's the next movie from Ang Lee.
I thought you were just going to jump from films to amusement parks because that's the comparison that I'm getting here.
Kind of, yeah.
This thing where you're not going to go to Universal Studios ever again because it's going to come to your living room and that's a lot to get to for people. They have expectations of their entertainment. And I'll tell you, I'm surprised Scott didn't say the word porn, but maybe there's the foot in the door.
Tom. I was going to say the 32-year-old in me says, let the director have all that control. But the 12-year-old in me says, I can peek around the corner and see more boobs.
Right, so, right. Mm-hmm. Boy, look at you at 12. Yeah, I feel like you guys are right. And it's more of a voyeuristic. Like, I would love to be, here, give me a reenacted scene from the bank heist in that movie whose name just left me for some reason. Heat, okay? Take the movie Heat. You got your Al Pacino, you got your everybody, right? And they're having their big, it's one of the greatest Michael Mann directed, greatest heist moments in the history of film. Let me go back and be in that film somehow, like a holographic whatever. Let me walk around, do stuff, pause it, rewind it, get real close to Val Kilmer, that kind of stuff. That's interesting to me. But if you're going to give me a new movie that I'm supposed to, like, it's going to be lavished with Oscars and great acting moments and stuff, I don't think walking around, checking out stuff, being distracted by things on the wall is the way that that stuff's supposed to go.
How do you do this with a second person or a third? Yeah. How do you sit in your living room with people and do this?
Right.
I'm curious.
Right.
Well, because in the future, Randy, obviously, we'll all have lightweight glasses and a shared experience through an ad hoc wireless network.
Yeah.
Or no friends.
Metaverse, man.
Also, the friends will be virtual.
Yeah. It's all about the metaverse at this point. So we'll see.
No, I'm a little more bullish than you guys. I mean, I think there are stories that can take advantage of this. Granted, like taking movies that we have now and saying this will replace them would be stupid. There are reasons why directors are good at what they do, and directing your attention is one of them. But I think there's directors who could take advantage of the fact that they now have a wider landscape. Just like Panavision was, you know, you could make bigger and broader landscapes in movies. This isn't another step down that road, in my opinion. So, yeah, most of the action might be taking place in front of you, but you're going to have a total 360 view. So your peripheral vision can be used and cued. And maybe when the car chase scene starts, you hear the car coming and you can actually turn around and see it as it's heading toward the action. I think stuff like that can make it really cool.
Yeah. And like I say, when you're on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland, they make a point of bringing things up on the side that you haven't noticed yet and causing you to wheel your head around and see. I get that's entertaining. I'm just wondering how many Pirates of the Caribbean rides could possibly be constructed.
Well, how many Pirates of the Caribbean movies can they make? We almost have an answer to that.
But now that they're virtual, like you could make potentially unlimited kinds of rides and experiences and then hack
characters
versions of those.
I mean, you could still have real, that's what they're trying to figure out, is like how to show real people. Doesn't have to make virtual people just because it's virtual reality.
Yeah. And then you know, Easter eggs, look behind the couch and there's like a dead horse or something, things like that.
I want to go be a tester at Jaunt now. That could be a really interesting job.
Yeah, it could be, right?
Check into work every morning and put on a headset and start looking around.
Yeah.
Now from the sublime, I don't know if this is ridiculous, but the Body Dryer is an Indiegogo project that dries you from the ground up with air.
Finally.
It's a device that resembles a bathroom scale. It shoots air up at your body. It's ionized air.
Okay.
That can blow hot or cold. I don't know why you would want it to blow cold. They claim it takes about 30 seconds to dry a person, although shorter people will dry faster.
Of course, as they do.
Yeah.
That's true with towels, by the way.
Right.
Take that, Johnson.
Yeah. I'm going to take forever.
It's going to sell for $250, although you can get it cheaper if you pre-order it in the Indiegogo for $125, and they expect them to start shipping in September.
This is a $250 fan that you stand on. Yeah.
That's great, though. Like,
I don't know. It sounds like they've solved a problem that didn't exist.
Yeah.
Oh no, you just didn't know how much bacteria were in your towels. If you watched,
is this kind of their argument?
That's probably true.
Yeah. It's neat looking. This concept 3D stuff looks kind of cool. They look like scales too, which I guess they are.
Well, they are. They also built in a scale function. I mean, it totally feels like a 1995 product, right?
Right.
Because it's like, and it's a scale.
Sure. You know what? This is, as much as I don't think I'd ever need this or want it really, I'd try it once. I love that they can exist now in this weird extra space of people funding things with, you know, with fans and stuff. I just think that's awesome. So more power to them, man. If it's something sticks, great. More opportunity for weird crap to catch on.
I'm going to charge people to stand on my back porch naked in the wind.
Yeah.
And they'll get dry. I mean, that's what I do, right? You guys probably the same, right?
I think all of us.
I've seen your record. Mm-hmm. I know what's going on over there. Yeah.
When those Santa Ana winds blow through, Randy and I are definitely out.
Man, it's ridiculous. So much nudity.
Good stuff. Good nudity.
The nudity, my friends, is blowing in the wind.
Indeed.
Is that today's show title? So much nudity.
So much nudity. That might
be our first
good
candidate. Definitely.
So much nudity. There you go. It's in the dock.
So much death. I mean, nudity.
It's in the dock. What are you going to do?
All right. Our last top talk story here. Project Loon, Google's plan to have internet balloons delivering mesh Wi-Fi across the land. They started it in New Zealand. One of the balloons just completed a lap around the world in 22 days. just clocked the project's 500,000th kilometer as it begins its second lap around the world. And the reason they have this thing, it didn't go off course or anything. They intentionally did this because it helps them develop the complex algorithms that manage the balloon's flight, as well as improve the solar panel design. They found that if they angle them for the balloons that are closer to the pole, they actually got more power.
It's amazing. It's awesome. This kind of stuff's great, yeah. And they should keep doing it. I would love to have a time machine, take it back to some famous world explorer and say, hey, you know that big journey you're about to embark on where you're going to lose like a third of your men to like disease and whatever.
We could float some lemons to you now.
Yeah, we're just screwing around with balloons with the internet on them, and then they would kill me for being a witch, and then that would be interesting.
Took Phineas Fogg 80 days.
Right?
What a jerk.
I know.
Loser.
Lame.
What a jerk.
Look, man, I just can't, I can't help smiling at this. You can't stop the signal.
Yeah.
All of political change in the future is going to be fomented by signals just falling out of the sky. It's just amazing.
Yeah. It's good. So I recommend people go ahead and embrace this weird future of internet balloons because I'm behind it 100%. Fantastic stuff. All right. Before we move to our main stories today, we're really kicking around the big stuff. I do want to mention that the Pilsner glasses are in the Frog Pants store, which means the current Geek Supporter 2.0 package is available now. I know, right? In the parlance of our day. And there are multiple packages to choose from. You guys were really supportive and got behind our calendar packages that we did when we launched the show. Here's a chance to continue that. And if you weren't able to do it then and the calendar doesn't make this make sense this far into the year, here's your chance. They're custom 16-ounce Pilsner glasses. You can put anything in there you want, though. Heck, you can put almond milk in there. I don't care. Custom artwork on the front by me. It's it's Chewbacca riding one of those little duck rides what do you call that? What are those at recess? Those little rocking ducks.
Playground equipment.
Thank you.
Thing.
I don't know what else to call it, but there he is riding it, smiling from
my school couldn't afford those, Scott, so I don't know what they're called.
Current Geek on the other side, and they're frosted and they're awesome. There are other packages that you can get as well. Go check it out at frogpants.com/store. They're right up top, right up front, and available now. So you want to support
thought
us more?
For next year? Julian calendars.
Oh my gosh.
That have their new year in March.
That's crazy.
Oh, do they have to? I don't mind calling today like the 104th day of the year, but that whole March thing.
Yeah, Smarch. Weather. Yeah.
Well, just you know, alternative calendars.
Yeah.
For those who didn't make the Gregorian switch.
Why not? It's now the main event.
In case you missed a look at one of the best dressed beauties of the early 20s, here's another look at her. Had enough?
Can we talk about the Amazon Fire TV? Can we do that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was just using it, and I have to retract something I said on Daily Tech News Show because I was fooled.
Oh, tell us. Do tell. What happened there?
So I searched for Orange is the New Black and got a listing for Orange is the New Black yesterday. I didn't pay close enough attention to it. Listing for House of Cards also.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, yeah, that's the Netflix House of Cards. There it is. No, it's not. It's Amazon's purchasable version of House of Cards as a download.
But it played, though, for me. Is it supposed to just play?
Okay, so maybe I'm not crazy. Maybe I did get the Netflix one yesterday. Because today I tried it again, and I was like, oh, wait, nope. That's just the one you buy from Amazon because they can't stream it because Netflix has the thing on streaming. Now, you can go into the Netflix app and then get House of Cards that way. But if you do the voice search, apparently it does ignore titles from other apps.
I can't figure it out either because mine played today and I didn't buy the other one it wouldn't do that without me confirming it, I assume, but
no, unless it was Amazon Prime, but it's not. That's the whole thing.
That's weird. Well, anyway, so I did an unboxing video today.
Yeah, I'm not insane.
Unboxing video today on the heels of yours and mine came a day late and they gave me some credit, which is nice because they screwed up. But anyway, plug that thing in. Kind of expected, you know, bit the bullet on this one thinking, well, I need to see it and review it and talk about it on shows and stuff. And even if it's not great, then whatever. There's something on the other TV I can use and it's fine. I kind of ended up really liking it like a lot. And I'm a little surprised by how much I like it. The game stuff, whatever. I don't think that's any good yet. Or, you know, maybe that has some some potential down
did
the road.
Did you get the controller too?
I didn't. I just knew that I have so many other gaming sources in my life that that would have been small compared to the rest of them. But also, they're all Android ports at this point, and they don't look great. And they have.
Well, you have to pay almost half the cost of the box itself to get the controller.
Yeah.
I know they give you 1,000 coins or whatever, but
it didn't seem like a very good value in that regard. But that remote works as described. The voice stuff is really good. I think beyond that, and that's a really big deal. So searching for stuff now just became incredibly easy. And if you and I, and if our notions are right, that it is searching other apps once they're installed for content in those apps, that's just a no-brainer, that voice thing. Just insanely smart application of that. And the fact that Apple is so late with any kind of Siri introduction with Apple TVs is kind of embarrassing at this point, considering they own all that tech and they should have done it. But anyway, the point is, they're doing it. It sounds really good. But the thing that impresses me the most, by far, hands down, is how peppy everything is. So fast, so responsive. No lag when I'm trying to jump between menus and do stuff. Playing movies, specifically on Amazon Prime, start nearly immediately. There's barely any buffer time. And that was something they touted on stage. I'm really impressed with that thing. I like it. And it's small and sleek and cool and, you know, runs really fast and doesn't heat up, and I don't have to turn it off when I'm done, like a PlayStation or something. It's just great. I'm totally into it.
And it resembles the 14th thing that I'll have connected over in that part of the house.
Yeah.
I am tired of the things. I feel like Microsoft had such a great opportunity to ship an Xbox One that came with a slot for me to put a cable card in, and they just blew it. Totally blew it. And now I'm gonna have the 15th thing in a few weeks, and I'm just sick of it. I'm sick and tired of switching around. Xbox, watch TV. No, I mean Hulu Plus. Damn it, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that sounds more like an Xbox One problem to me. But
but it's not just that. There's an Apple TV. There's a PS4. There's all these things.
Sure. No, you're right.
I look at this and I'm like, okay. If it just can get rid of some things,
yeah,
then I'm getting more interested, you know?
Well, it is interesting to see the different angle that they're coming at with this. So traditionally the angle has been, hey, the Xbox will play your games, core gamers. That's what we're here for. But now we've introduced some of this media stuff. This is the opposite. It's like, here's all the media stuff, and oh, it plays some games. It's an interesting way to approach that. And in a market that's getting ever crowded with Rokus and Apple TVs and other small set-top boxes, it's interesting to see them, you know, go for the jugular on the gaming part while nobody else seems to be doing that. I mean, Roku has some stuff, play Angry Birds on there and some things, but
well, that's the thing. The Roku 3, have you used a Roku 3, Scott?
I've used a 2. I've never used a 3. I had up through the 2s or the second gen, and I haven't had anything since.
Because the Roku 3 is about as responsive as the Fire TV.
Mm.
It doesn't do the pre-caching thing, so maybe over time you would feel that the Fire was a little snappier, but the menu system and everything is totally the same to me anyway on the Roku 3, and it has games. And frankly, the games are so not appealing to me on these kinds of boxes that to me, those are about the same. Granted, Amazon's got a much wider variety because they have this store that they've been developing for a long time. Roku doesn't have as many games, but if I wanted a game of that kind, I can get Angry Birds, right, on the Roku.
Sure.
So I just don't see that much differentiation between these two things, except that Roku has a better cross app search for sure. No matter whether we're imagining things or not, definitely almost everything that comes up in the search on the Fire TV is an Amazon product. Whereas on the Roku, it does cross all the apps that you've installed. But Amazon's got this voice recognition functionality that really works. So it's kind of a narrow race to me.
Yeah. I think part of the reason it's jumping out for me is I've been using my Apple TV for a while, and that interface needs to freaking go. It is slow. It is non-responsive. It's all the things that these are now doing, and it's not keeping up. Now, I know they got stuff up their sleeve. We're probably going to get something new this year, and I've had this one for a while. I get that these things change, and what used to be the new hotness is now kind of the old and cold, but it's not even close. So my comparison is a drastic one. Whereas if I had a Roku 3, I'd be feeling different about it. But I don't have a problem with all this competition. I think this stuff is good. And Bill, if somebody came to you and said, dude, you got $100 to spend, go get a set-top thing. Where are you throwing your money?
That's a tough call because I don't have any set-top boxes. I have an Xbox 360. Yeah. I have a PlayStation 3 so I can play my Blu-rays from the red box down the street.
Yeah.
And I have my doghouse plugged right into my TV. I do all my gaming on that. I do all my Netflix on that. And it does just about everything I need it to do.
Yeah.
I mean, the answer has been, well, you go buy an Apple TV for years. And I don't understand why they are dropping the ball so hard at this point.
I agree.
Like, I just don't get that. They have everything set up. They're ready to go to expand that thing and take over. Yeah. And they just don't. They're like the,
they still call it a hobby, or are they off that now, Tom? I can't remember.
Yeah, they're saying the hobby is very profitable because they sell a lot of content through it. But, I mean, Randy, what does the Apple TV need to do to make you happy?
Everything it's not doing. Like, it's like, well, okay, well, for starters, what's in there? An old iPhone, basically, is in there.
Yeah.
And like and
iPhone 4 or something is the current one.
Why isn't it just letting me load all my apps? I've been buying apps for like 7 years from these people. You know, right out of the gate, I can think of a bunch of apps that would be so nice to have on my TV via that. And, you know, instead of here I am constantly, I will bet you I mirror my iPad to the television more than I just use something off the Apple TV. TV is a waypoint.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. AirPlay is a big deal around here, and that's how we used it primarily in the last probably 6 months.
Well, there's a lot of video apps that the makers of do not want to be on the Apple TV.
Yeah.
They want to be on your iPad. And the fact that you can mirror them, they're like, eh, not that many people are going to do it, so we're okay. But there's this weird, like, we don't want to actually be on the television and compete with ourselves, especially for broadcast networks. Same reason that Microsoft doesn't have a cable card in there. The cable industry doesn't want cable cards in Xboxes. They want to be able to control that system. They don't really want cable card to exist, honestly. So most of the stuff is the fault of the industry, I think.
It is. It absolutely is. It's like you just named all the broadcast networks. They are so wrong to think that they can put their television shows on their websites and that I'm going to go watch them there and I'm going to find a way to put it up on a TV or whatever that it looks good enough that I enjoy it. But they are so steadfastly refusing to just blast it out onto every possible platform.
Well, they don't care that you do that. But they know that most people won't go to the trouble, so they don't want to make it easy.
Yeah.
Because they don't want people to cancel cable.
Well, no, I know, and it's stupid because you still get to advertise to me.
Yeah.
You know,
they get carriage fees from cable on top of advertising to you. That's even more money.
I buy Hulu Plus, and you know what? They've been sneaking in more and more ad minutes for years, and I don't care. I don't care at all.
I don't care as much, except every commercial is the same one during the hour you're watching something.
I'm here to tell you, if I hear Andrew Dice Clay as that hamster one more time.
I know, and you used to be a fan.
I don't even know what that commercial is for, but Andrew Dice Clay is a hamster and it's freaking me out.
It's not good. It's not good. that's interesting. We'll have to see how this all shakes out. But you know what? I more competition means things, more experimentation, more ideas are tried. A lot of people seem to be a little bit down on this announcement because it's just another one. Like, oh,
because
well,
it doesn't
one.
Advance. That's the right. thing. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have a significant advantage.
Yeah.
And we're all waiting for that.
For me, it's all like, this is really responsive, and that's so much better than what I've been doing, and that's been good enough for me, but I have to think in terms of, you know, they're all dancing around in the same bubble. The breaching needs to be these cable companies and networks and everybody else changing the way this stuff fundamentally gets distributed and who has it for how long and all that. Until that happens, until that content gets freed up, it's kind of going to have to be in that bubble, and now it's all about, well, who has the best experience in the bubble? It's a little sad if you think of it that way.
It's a boy in a bubble.
Yeah, I'm going to move away from it now because it's sad. Windows Phone, Windows 8.1, both getting big updates. This is from the, what's the name of the conference? Build.
Microsoft Build.
Build, which is not B-I-L-L-E-D, but the other one. nobody ran out screaming developers, but we got weird stuff this
time.
He's
gone. He's not in charge anymore.
Yeah, he's out. They do. So the big deal, I think, was the Office thing coming to iPads and all this kind of weird crossover they never do normally.
That was last week.
Was that last week? Did we?
The iPad. Yeah. This week it was really showing off Windows Phone 8.1.
Yeah.
Windows Phone 8.1 has a new action center, new lock screen. Microsoft personal assistant software called Cortana, as we alluded to earlier. It's replacing the phone's OS search function. It's their Siri, if you will. It's also some enterprise stuff. It joins hotspots faster. And a new keyboard typing function that's very similar to Swipe from Android, coming to customers April and May. So if you're a Windows Phone user, you're probably going to be excited about this. I'm not sure there's anything that really... Kind of the same story as the fire in a way. It's not anything in here that's really going to sway you like, oh, I'm definitely changing a Windows Phone.
Yeah. Is Cortana blue and sexy?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in.
Not the same.
That would sway me a little bit. I like putting fictional characters in my devices.
I feel like this speaks to you, doesn't it, a little bit, this whole idea?
Yeah. My phone, all of my noises on my phone are all claptrap. Whenever I have something, it's ha-ha, claptrap.
Yeah.
So if they had, if it was Cortana acting as my phone, that actually appeals to me a lot.
Yeah. Claptrap from Borderlands, for those who don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, he's one of those people who can tolerate Claptrap.
Oh.
There are two kinds of people in this world, Randy. Those that can and those that cannot.
God, what about, what if it was Wheatley or, what's it, GLaDOS?
Yeah, I did a poll on Twitter about this, and GLaDOS won hands down. But a lot of people said Deckard Cain took like a third place in that list. Yeah, it was GLaDOS, Navi from the Zelda games,
right?
Which would annoy me to no end.
Yeah, me too.
And I can't remember after that. There were a bunch of others.
Stay a while. I'd answer your phone.
Yeah, stay a while and pick up your
gem. Throw a bunch of gems in your phone, and I'll transmute them.
I love anything Anthony Birch writes, but when he writes things for Claptrap, I just feel like it's a waste of time.
Oh, that's too bad. I Claptrap's all right. I don't like his he outwears his welcome sometimes. I'll give you that.
Oh, easily. In a few sentences he outwears.
But not in Bill's world, no. He's good.
I'm so happy that they're still making Windows Phone updates. Like, I'm no Apple or Android like fanboy or anything, but telling me that is like telling me they're making a Zune update. I'm just like, what?
You don't live in that world. The Windows Phone keeps gaining market share in the U.S. It's actually got close to a 10% market share in Europe and growing strong. So it's on the rise. It's not like a BlackBerry or your Firefox OS where it's just wasting away down there in the single digits.
Yeah, that Firefox thing, geez.
This is for Randy, just so you know. Every day I wake up to this.
Oh, dude, that would kill you.
Oh, this explains so much about you.
Every single day. Claptrap lets me know it's time to vomitos.
Oh, that
would maybe Randy will get a little more excited about Windows 8.1 update coming to your Windows computer April 8th because they're doing some taskbar improvements that make it easier to switch between desktop and Windows Store apps. The apps can be pinned to the taskbar, and the taskbar will actually show up in those tiled apps on that weird screen. The start screen on non-touch devices is going to move settings, power, and search buttons to the top right. Yay. So you don't have to go through that stupid dance to try to turn off your computer anymore. You'll be able to right-click a tile for more actions, and they're going to talking about bringing back the start button in future.
Yeah.
I get my hands on a Windows 8 computer. I run that shell script that turns it into Windows 7.
You wouldn't have to run the shell script anymore.
But I still would.
I still use Windows 7. So that's
Yeah.
Most gamers and I think people are holding out.
I use Windows 8 and it runs once you're on the desktop mode, it feels like 7. It's just only that weird tiled interface that's different. Once you're past that, you never go back to it.
Yeah.
I like thinking that Tom has to do some interpretive dance to get his computer to shut down.
Yeah. Oh my, you have to go to the right on the charm screen and then down to settings and then
pirouette.
Yeah.
The pirouette's the hardest part.
Oh, the judges are harsh on that.
I forgot about that.
You don't get it right. You can't turn off your computer.
No.
They're still called charms, that stuff over there.
I don't know. That's what they used to
do. So dumb. All right. Well, there you have it. That's what's going on in those two worlds. Now it's time to stump these two guys.
America scores and wins.
All right. This is the part of the show we call Pop Quiz. It's not unlike a little thing that Randy and I created and invented on the Instance years ago called Rapid Fire Questions. And it's a lot like that, except you guys have even less time to think about it. You got a weird scorer. Tom makes weird. He does makes weird scoring
Why
decisions.
Why call it weird? It's complex. It's rule driven.
Really weird. It's really weird.
It has an
nuanced.
Internal consistency.
Yeah, and weird. It's pretty weird.
Got layers of flavor.
Yeah, and I'd call it weird. So
it has notes of cherry.
So we're gonna play a little game here where Bildran answers cosplay questions first.
Goodness.
So you're up first, man. You ready for this?
The answer is Yaya Han.
If you get it correct, it's this. If you get it wrong, it's that. And Tom will score accordingly. Also a little bit weird. So here we go. First question. What year did the reality show Heroes of Cosplay start?
2013.
Correct. Easy one.
Point.
Yeah.
What
it's
costume?
It's one season.
Yeah. What costume from the Nerdtacular 2013 costume contest did Bill say was going to give him nightmares?
That rabbit.
You are correct, sir. Nicely done.
Point. I'm looking forward to questions that about things that happened to me. This is going to be really interesting.
That's why I love this.
What did you think of that dessert last night, Randy? Yeah.
What Bildoran props made an appearance at Nerdtacular 2011? Again, something you did. Yeah.
Ooh, but 2011.
That had to be the Jim Raynor pistol.
Got it.
The Illidan Storm Rages Warglaive of Azanoth.
Yep.
And the Protoss Pylon.
You are correct. Nicely done. That seemed hard.
I'm going to get a half point, though, because it's stuff you made.
I was going to say, ask me more about stuff I've made.
That was just testing how crappy your memory is. All right. What convention is there a policy... What convention in their policy has an entry saying, quote, no costume is no costume, then referring to nudity as part of a costume? When referring to nudity as part of a costume?
I was going to say, seen a lot of skin at Dragon Con, so it may not be Dragon Con, but I'm going to guess Dragon Con.
All right, let's see. Oh, you're right. It is Dragon Con.
Hey!
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Discouraged.
That should have been obvious. Half point.
My favorite last year was the swastika nipple covers.
Yeah.
That was the winner last
good.
Year.
All right, next one. Adam Savage likes to go to conventions in costume and not tell anybody who he is. What was his costume at San Diego Comic-Con 2013?
That would be his Admiral Akbar costume. I gave him a small hug.
Oh, that's very nice. You didn't know you were with him for a while, though, right? Wasn't that
I
the
knew
deal?
It was him immediately.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
He smelled like Jamie.
I saw Norm from Tested run by, and I was like, where's Adam?
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a good point. He's always around that. All right. What network does Heroes of Cosplay air?
Sci-fi.
It's an easy one. What character from Dragon Con?
Only three quarters of a point, though, you muttered.
See? It's weird. It's
weird. It's pronounced Sci-fi.
All right.
S-Y-F-Y.
What character from Dragon Age has Bill made a costume of?
Dragon Age? It's Hawk.
Correct. Nicely done. At Nerdtacular 2011, Mike Boyd there, who wrote these questions, asked Bill about a certain prop. Bill said we'd never make another one of it. Which prop did Bill say would never make another one of?
Oh, geez. All of the props I've ever made?
You'll have to narrow it down.
The Warglaive.
Correct. Now, by my accounting...
He still loses a point, though. It's a private conversation. Right.
See, I told you it's weird. All right, we'll give you your score in a minute. But before all that, Randy, your turn.
Goodness.
Movies. All right, movies.
Seriously?
Somewhat film sack. Seriously? Somewhat film sack related, so that helps.
Bill has already won.
Yeah, he may have.
Stuff right. that happened to Bill or movies.
All very heavy film sacky kind of questions. Right. So you might be all right. Our other show airing weekly on the Frogpants Network, filmsack.com. Check it out. You'd love it. All right, Current Geek, here we go. I don't know why I said Current Geek, but I did.
All right, Geek.
Randy, here's your first question. What was the first movie covered on FilmSack?
Oh,
you know this. You have to know this.
I don't. I don't remember the first. Okay, I'm going to have to guess. I'm just going to try to guess like the oldest one I remember us doing.
All right. Hurry, Tom's going to score you funny.
I don't know. Crawl. I don't know.
You're right.
Yep. Seriously?
That's correct, yeah. It's Krull.
No way.
Yeah,
seriously?
It's Krull. The Warglaive. Yeah, oh yeah. Speaking Holy of Warglaive, it's all glaives today.
Half point for being excited.
Yeah, that's
that was
good.
Amazing.
I'm so
proud of myself.
Sean Connery has been in 4 film sack movies. What was the first Connery movie to be sacked?
Outland.
You are correct. Nicely done. Star Trek is the most...
no pause book bonus.
Star Trek is the most sacked series of films on the show. What was the first Star Trek movie to be sacked?
Wrath of Khan.
Correct. Nicely done. Now you're starting to feel like you have a chance.
I'm feeling it.
What actor from Breaking Bad has made a total of 5 appearances on film sack?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
You can say, if you say the character, we'll give you that, too. Meaning if it's either the dude or the character that he played on.
I'm
going to
guess Hank.
You are correct. Dean Norris.
Wow. Quarter point bonus for Gus.
Yeah. Dean Norris, everybody.
All right.
What terrible movie did Scott say everyone should see this with Randy replying with, I don't? Think of the, there's been a few of those, but it's the biggest one.
Well, give me the quote again. That's
everyone weird. Should see this, and you immediately said, I don't.
Okay, so you said, I think everyone should see this.
I should, I think his question's a little weird.
But. Let's just go with the legendary Randy hated it movie. Hold on, bear with me.
How much time does he have to look it up online?
Oh, Troll 2.
Oh, you would be correct. Nicely done.
You only get a quarter point for that, though. It took too long.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Because I've tried to blast it out of my memory.
That's right. What was the first ever film sack commentary track? What was the film?
That would be Sudden Death.
Oh, hold on. There, sorry. Correct.
you just made my heart.
I know. Another
half point for guessing.
Yeah. Sorry, bad. You're correct. Okay. In which episode did Randy drop 2 F bombs that Scott never edited out?
Well, that was really recent.
It was.
Oh gosh, that was like The Expendables 2.
You would be incorrect.
Yeah. Oh,
Congo is the correct answer.
Yeah, right. It only gets 3/4 off for that.
What is the final question? What is the best Christmas movie that has ever been covered on Film Sack? This is obviously up to interpretation, but
yeah, the best Christmas movie. Oh, so I have to guess the one Scott loves. Oh, that would be Die Hard.
You would be correct. Nicely done. Well done. Wait, that was a pretty good way to come to that answer. All right, so you both answered your questions. It was really close because of Tom's weird scoring. Tom, how'd they do?
Well, Bill ended up with 5.25 points, and Randy ended up with 5.25 points.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness.
Up, baby. Nicely done. Fine. I told you, sometimes it pays to be weird.
We'll settle it at Nerdtacular in a cage match.
All right.
Keep Austin weird.
To the death. Let's do it. All right. A little forecast time.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It's forecast. It used to be a show. Now it's a segment. It's where we predict the future.
And it's a show.
Randy, I want to hear about this biosecurities for the birds thing. What is this? Explain. Is he there?
Sorry. I accidentally muted myself.
All right.
Clearing my throat. I was following on what you guys were, what you already had in there.
Oh, well, let's start with that then. So I'd put something in here that said, I have a feeling we will never be entering our passwords into things again. And this came up because I was shocked when I turned on that Amazon thing and it didn't ask me for a login. It just worked. So it said, use the voice thing. And I went, Samuel L. Jackson, and Shaft was one of the options. So I said, hit play now, Shaft. And Shaft started playing. And I went, wait a minute, don't I have to log into Amazon Prime or something? And these ship to me directly from Amazon with my account info already built in.
Whoa.
That weirded me out. Number one. Then number two, it got me thinking, one of these days, this is just straight up how it's going to work for everything. We're going to have some kind of unified login for everything. And you're going to get products that require that. And more products will require some sort of identification and authentication. And it's going to ship that way and just be straight up in that thing. That's my prediction. Now,
that sounds horribly insecure.
Yeah.
The Kindle Fire ships the same way, right? And actually, all the Kindles do with your account already pre-installed.
Oh, so you? Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know. I don't have a Kindle, so I use the app, but I didn't know they did that. So there's some precedence for this.
Yeah. So this is just carrying that forward. Here's the thing, Scott. Yeah. I got mine and launched it, and said, I'd like to watch Amazon Prime. And it said, you're not subscribed. I'm like, oh, right. Because our Amazon Prime membership is on Eileen's account, which is shared for the shipping with my Amazon account. Oh. But Amazon doesn't let you share the movie playing part of it. So I had to go to settings, log out, log in as Eileen to be able to watch anything on Amazon Prime, which I think shows one potential problem with this idea of like, oh, it'll just ship with the identity on it.
That's a good point. Because you are able to use Prime streaming as a shared account with her on other devices.
I have to log in as her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They only let you share the shipping.
Okay. Mm. Oh, you're right.
The Kindling or the video.
You're right. I used to be on Nicole's plan for a while because she had they were doing some deal.
For the shipping?
Yeah, for the shipping. And I was always mad that I couldn't use Prime streaming. Now I just had forgotten that, I guess. So all right. So okay. You say that's horribly insecure. Bill, why? Before we get to Randy's take, or, you know, spin on it, where are you at with like a unified login and you never have to put it in again?
I'll tell you this, if the thing requires a picture of your face, like with some Android phones, and you have a twin brother, then I can just take my twin brother's phone and hold it up to my face and log in, which is, I mean, obviously a super unique situation.
Have you done that though? Have you tried it and it works?
Oh, yeah.
That's bad.
Immediately, that was the first thing I did. He said, I can log in with my face. And I was like, give me that.
See, now you're freaking me out because then people who aren't twins are doing like face off. They're taking people's faces off and using those. And then somebody else is, you know, oh, well, it's going to all be thumbprints. Well, now they're cutting people's fingers off. And
then Nicolas Cage and what's his face there?
Yeah.
John Travolta.
John Travolta face off. Just to log into their phone.
Yeah. I'm into that. Interesting. Okay. Randy.
So expanding on that just a little bit. I have been watching sci-fi forever, and if you watch sci-fi, you'll quickly learn that in the future, at least people who write about the future believe that the bio component of multi-factor authentication is going to be a thing. Okay. And it's not. It's not. It's the worst of the three pillars of multi-factor authentication. The bio pillar is BS.
Why?
It's just,
why? What?
Because as Bill just demonstrated, it's too easy to get around. It's too easy to replicate. For a brief time, remember when everybody was getting thumbprint scanners for their computers, and then everybody realized that pretty much anyone could put their thumb down and the computer would unlock? It was like, it was so hokey. There is an example of that for every kind of biological identification.
The 5S thing works really well, except there's still ways to do it. You can get that weird epoxy stuff and fake
and,
it.
And the thing is, there's still two other parts of the triangle. There's what you are, that's the bio part.
Yeah.
And then there's what you know and what you've got. And what you know is always going to be a part of multi-factor authentication. So you're going to have passwords.
Right.
You're great-great-great-grandchildren are going to have passwords that they're going to have to regurgitate through their two-way feeding tubes. And that is, you know, that's a thing. But then what's going to happen is we're going to get a greater emphasis on that third thing, that what you've got thing, that fob that a lot of us are carrying around, the RSA key, that authenticator app that we've got on our smartphones that we have to touch every now and then when we're logging in to play World of Warcraft. That thing is going to become more and more important, and I think it's going to become more snazzy. I really think that you're going to see a blending back toward the bio part, where you're going to have that authenticator maybe even built into you. But it's not, again, we're not talking about something that's unique to you because you were born with it, but rather because you've got it with you all the time.
Well, what if it's just a straight up DNA scanner? Like, you know, like what if we get that good at it where it's, because that's unique to you. There's nobody like that, right?
I don't know.
I have some of your hair here, Scott.
Can I log in?
But Randy, I mean, it's multi-factor authentication. So you have to have all three to log in.
No, you have to have two different. Multi-factor means two different things, two among what you know, who you are, and what you got.
So two of the three is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, and some systems will use three, will try to use all three. But I guess what I'm saying is you could use all three. And what you're saying is why bother? Like just use two.
Yes. So
I think the one inheritance factor that I've heard, which is the what you are part, that sounds intriguing, is your typing pattern. Mm. Now, granted, you're not going to want to do this in the future because people are like, why would I want to type, right? Because we'll have some other input measure. But people's typing is very unique to them. And that could actually be the what you got factor as well, the possession factor. Like, I have the ability to type, I guess, but it's very unique. And so just typing in your password, if it's long enough, could tell the computer that it's you, because other people don't type in the same pattern that you do. And there's been a lot of studies about this. And you may say, oh, come on, how different can it be? It varies considerably and significantly between users.
Interesting.
I'm telling you, somebody is going to be the next RSA, the next company to come along with something that represents the fob of ID. And I'm telling you, invest in them. Excuse me. Wow, my throat just went, no.
Went inside out. It's like the other way.
Invest in them.
Yeah.
Voice print.
Nobody would be able to duplicate the sound I just heard. So I think you're authenticated. Right. Interesting stuff. I would like to hear what listeners have to say about.
I just did a quick research, and at this time, apparently, the technology does not exist to analyze DNA on the level required to distinguish the difference between identical twins.
Yeah.
So even a DNA scanner thing would still fool my twin brother's phone.
Yeah. And your brother type the same too, because that's quite possible.
We laugh the same, which is really, it's like laughing in stereo, which weirds out my wife.
It is really weird. I've heard it.
My brother and I have the same laugh. We were born 9.5 years apart.
So yeah.
It's just a really long labor.
You're really cozy in the womb. I'm not coming out yet.
Yeah.
Give me 9 years.
Give me 2 more minutes. So Veronica just texted me. She says there's a fourth kind. And here's what she says. How about this fourth authentication?
How about a booby?
I don't know if we can do that. I don't think that's a good idea.
That's something you possess.
It is. Yeah. Right. That's what you've got. That's what you've got.
If you're lucky.
Good stuff.
You have one in your pocket. You hold it out.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, hello, Miss Belmont. Come on in. This will be fine. She'll love that we did that. Let's get to an email real quick. And it comes to us from Eric, a.k.a. Hawkito, Eric Van Skyhawk, good friend of the program, currently works at Nickelodeon, doing real good work there.
And also not at the raid last night either.
No.
Could have used him.
That punk. I wasn't there either, so whatever. Eric, a.k.a. Hawkito, let us know about this awesome Kickstarter. He's got a friend who's a part of it, so he wanted me to be aware of it. But it's where this dude is going to make these beautifully, and this is a quote, beautifully handcrafted, durable, affordable, and completely modular gaming terrain. Unquote. They're pretty amazing. They totally need to kind of be seen to be believed. There are 4 days left on the Kickstarter. I guess almost 3 now, and they're well overfunded, but there's still time to get in. And they are ornate and gorgeous.
They are beautiful,
man.
This is Dwarven Forge.
Yeah,
and they've been doing this a while. And I've seen some of their stuff. It is top notch.
Yeah,
really good stuff.
I mean, the pictures in here alone are just kind of blowing my mind. And it's modular, so you can build just about anything you want. If you're familiar with the way things kind of grid out in a D&D game or Pathfinder game or something, then you kind of know what you're getting into here. And it is unlike anything you've perhaps seen. You can build just amazing stuff. So,
and they have their stretch goals as a map.
Yep. Isn't that cool? It's really well done. Anyway, worth checking out. Search for Dwarven Forges Caverns or something to that effect on Kickstarter. Again, you have 4 days to go. If you want to get in now on this stuff. All right. That's that for that. That's it for the show, too. We're done. Huge thanks to our guests. I want to thank, let's start with Bill. Hey. Bill Duran over there. Tell folks where they can find more about your awesome prop building and everything else you have going on.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been doing a whole bunch of stuff over on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/punishedprops. I've been doing this like weekly show thing. Like, you guys know what that's about.
Sure.
Where you do a show every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I do Q&A. I have a guest on, someone. I just had my friend Chris Miles on, who is an engineer, a costume and prop maker. He's a real wizard with 3D printing and building props like that. I had him on last night. That's all archived on my YouTube channel. And it's totally worth checking out if you're into making stuff in general, not just props and costumes. Lots of really great information over there.
Nice.
So go check it out and subscribe.
Chinbeard on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there as well. Mr. Randy, one Randy Deluxe. Where should we be sending people for you these days? What are we doing?
Dude, I need more Twitter followers. And I'm the guy who always consults people. Don't focus on your Twitter followers. That's not that's not what Twitter's about.
That's true.
That's a number that doesn't mean much about whether you're, you know, effectively engaging with people. But I want more Twitter followers. So twitter.com/RandyDeluxe. And oh my gosh, FilmSack has been good.
It sure has,
it's
right?
Just, yeah.
Hitting on all cylinders. I love that show more than life.
I am really, really excited about our live recording of FilmSack coming up at Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if 5 days after I taunted Scott with remembering what the movie is, if he has remembered.
I still don't remember. I really don't know.
It's going to be so good. We've got a really awesome selection.
Yeah.
And it's
I'm
going to so
take
fun
your word for it. I'm sure it is. I'm excited about that too. It's going to be great. It's a grand tradition now we do at the show. And people, you know, nerdtacular.com, still tickets available, people. So go get them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah, go.
Come meet us, hug us. Bill will be there. He's be judging this year's costume contest doing a cosplay panel. I mean, what the hell else can he ask for?
Yep. And I had a dream that we got trapped at Snowbird because of rock slides.
Great.
For a very long time. So yeah. These are the people you want to be trapped with. Trust me.
It doesn't happen very often. Every 100 years.
Unfortunately, we had to kill and eat ice worm, but he was delicious.
No, he wasn't. It was terrible. Gamey and stringy. All right. Well, I was going to say something else. I forgot. Tom.
Yes.
Anything else, man? What's going on?
I just want to apologize to Brian Woodard for saying very unique.
Is he choking on that?
It bothered him.
Okay.
And I'm sorry.
All right. I'm sorry for you.
It's just unique.
Yeah. It's not the grammatical error we wanted.
Unique. It's unique. It's alone.
It's,
I get it.
It's so not the grammar error we wanted. It's the grammar error we needed. So
you're the best Tom Merritt ever.
He really is. Thank you. He really is. Ace Detect on Twitter, Daily Tech News Show, a billion other things. 10 State on Patreon. Go support that. Anything else? Is that it?
That's good. It. Yeah,
Current
Geek, man. Get those Pilsner glasses.
Current Geek. Go check it out. CurrentGeek.com, CurrentGeek.reddit.com for our Reddit page. Submit stories. We'll talk about them on the show. At Current Geek on Twitter. At Scott Johnson for me. At Ace Detect for Tom. CurrentGeek@gmail.com. CurrentGeek.com for everything else. We'll see you guys next week for a brand new show. Bye now.
And welcome back to Legal Geek. The topic this week is whether college athletes will succeed in bids to unionize. When Northwestern football players asked the National Labor Relations Board to recognize the team as a union, most legal pundits thought the petition would be denied. However, the smart kids and their legal counsel won the day this week when the NLRB ruled that the football players are actually employees and can unionize to collectively bargain for benefits. While Northwestern University will certainly appeal and fight this, the ruling appears to be sound in reasoning and will be difficult to overturn. This is because a major conference football team brings in millions in revenue but sees only a minuscule percentage of that in scholarships and stipends. Also, college coaches control a lot of their athletes' lives, which makes it sound a lot more like an employment engagement. This NLRB ruling could be the first big step in ensuring that these athletes get better benefits and a bigger piece of the money pie that they create. That's a better situation for all involved, as it may encourage players to stay in college athletics longer, thereby improving college sports, and also the level of incoming professional athletes as well. Thanks to equality laws and regulations like Title IX, this could be a Pandora's box for the NCAA. The bottom line is, college athletics is about to undergo a fascinating sea change. For sports geeks, this could fundamentally change the sports we love in ways that are hard to comprehend now. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions as segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.